Well, good morning. Yeah, thank you for those words there, Carl. Appreciate that perspective. Frankly, I had heard about the situation and I had kind of pushed it out of my mind. I had other things on my mind in the last couple of days, so I haven't really had a lot of time to process it. So yes, I don't have a lot of intimate knowledge there either. So thank you for sharing that. I appreciate that. It's really interesting that we were studying the life of David this week, and we had a situation very similar to that, except there, Abigail, Nabal's wife, took the situation into her own hand and tried to prevent a greater evil from occurring. And some of the discussion was, you know, was that right for her to do that? Should she have made an appeal to her husband? I guess we don't know, because it's what if, how that would have played out. Ultimately, we don't know. But I'd be curious to know what you think about that, Carl, how that fits in this situation. All right. With that that introduction, or comment, I should say, why don't we just pause here and ask the Lord's blessing on the remainder of the service here. Just clear our minds. Just open our minds up to the Spirit of God. So let's stand for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we pause here this morning with a heart's desire to know Your Word, to know Your will for our lives, and to know how to view the world around us. Lord, we just pray that we, each one of us here, could have a biblical view, that we could look through the world around us from Your perspective, by looking through Your Word and applying Your principles to even difficult situations. Lord, we just pray that Your Spirit would be present here this morning. We pray that Your Spirit would speak to each one of our hearts and that each one of us would be open to what You have to say to each one of us in our own situations. We pray for those that are traveling. Pray for those that are sick as well that cannot be with us this morning. We just pray that in some limited way that they could still participate in this service this morning, that they could still receive a blessing if they have not already received that. Lord, we thank You once again for Your goodness and for Your loving kindness. These things we pray in Your name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, I brought with me this morning several objects. And I just want to talk a little bit about them, just as an introduction. This here is, and there's each one has something in common. As I talk about them, maybe I'll ask for you to, you'll soon figure it out. This here is a piece of pipe that I would have gotten, it came out of a hog barn. I'm not sure if it was part of the watering system or whether it was part of like a cooling system. This here I found on my shelf. This is a garden hose that it kind of grows. It's made out of very flexible material. It was a gift to me. It's been sitting on my shelf in my garage. I have not used it yet. Looks interesting, but I never used it. This here is a hose that would be used, a tube that was used to transfer soap into a high pressure, a pressure washer, I should say. And this here is an extension cord, and it was used to, among other things, to transfer electricity to my hedge trimmer as I tried to keep the bushes in check around my property there. And this here is a spouting that would probably go on a pretty large building because it is a 6-inch spouting. It's a little larger than what would be on most homes. So what's the common denominator among all these things? Someone want to just shout it out? Transfer something. Yeah, I used that. To carry something. Yes, brother? Conduits. Yes, you're getting warmer. You got the right idea. Go ahead. A channel. Right. That's the word I was looking for. You had the right idea, but the word I was looking for was channels. They're all channels. Channels for water, channels for soap, channels for electricity. That's the common denominator there. Their value, if you think about it, the value of those items, where does that come from? That comes from being used by someone else to transfer something. There's other channels. You can think of a stream. We have Cocalico Creek here next to our building. That runs by the building here. It travels in a natural channel that is cut through the earth. I thought it was interesting. That channel is rather long, the Cocalico Creek channel. I don't know if any of you want to think about how long that is. According to Wikipedia, it's 27 miles. 27-mile long channel that water flows through. And part of it goes by this building here. So this morning I'd like to guide our thoughts toward channels. And more specifically, living channels. You know, all those channels laying there, they're inanimate objects. You know, there's no life in them. There's nothing about them that's alive. Their value or usefulness comes from being used by someone else. But there are living channels as well. Inside of our body, we have blood vessels that channel oxygen and other nutrients to their individual cells. Socially, individuals can be channels for information from one to another. Ambassadors are channels of information from one nation to another. In Scripture, we find that individuals are channels. The apostles were a channel for bringing the Word of God to men. The term apostle is used about 80 times in the New Testament, and it means one sent or sent one. So they were sent with the Word of God. Angels often were used to deliver a message from God to man. Appropriately, the word angel means messenger. These are examples of living channels versus inanimate, non-living channels. This morning I'd like to talk about another group of living channels. And to introduce that, let's turn to John chapter 7, starting in verse 37. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has saith, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this he spake of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified." This was during the Feast of the Tabernacles, and this was on the last day. It was an eight-day feast. So this would have been on the eighth day. And there was three times that the Jewish men were to come to the tabernacle or to the temple. One was the Feast of the Passover. The second one was the Feast of the First Fruits, or Pentecost. And then the third one was the Feast of the Tabernacles. And part of the practice of this feast was they would have a memorial for the time when Israel received water coming out of a rock. The priest would make a parade, and they would march out of the temple, and they would go down to the Pool of Siloam, and they would fill up their vessels and bring it up, and then they would pour water out before the altar. And that was symbolizing how God had provided for the Israelites, had provided water for the Israelites in the desert during their 40 years journey there. And then that's the scene. And then Jesus is there with his disciples, and then he cries out, you know, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath saith, Out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. He is publicly calling to Israel to come to him to satisfy their thirst. And in doing that, he is claiming the same power that God used to provide water for Israel in the desert. And he's indicating that the miracle of water coming out of the rock is really a foreshadowing. He is claiming that as a foreshadowing or a type of himself. And he's also pointing forward to the coming of the Holy Spirit, which the writer, Apostle John, wrote and put in parentheses here in verse 39. So he is saying that just like the rock gave water to Israel, anyone who believes on him shall have rivers of living water flow out of him. If we believe on Jesus, we have the Holy Spirit dwelling within each one of us. Because of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, we can be an incredible blessing to those around us. So are those rivers of living water flowing out of your heart this morning? Are you a blessing to those that you interact with on a daily basis? Sometimes it's the hardest to bless those that we're the closest to. When we're in our own homes, or I actually see it, I think it's worse in the workplace. You start working with the same group of men or same group of women, for my case, mostly men. You know, some things get said sometimes and done, I'm like, wow. You know, sometimes when you're with the people that you interact with the most, it's the hardest. You know, sharp words and rude comments, they can come out easily. Are the words that we speak a blessing and encouragement to those who we relate to the most? It's likely that Jesus was alluding to a vision that was given here in Ezekiel. Ezekiel 47. If you want to turn there, I'm going to be there for a little bit. Ezekiel chapter 47, starting there in verse 1. Ezekiel was given one of his visions from God. And as we ponder that, it really is truly a beautiful vision. Ezekiel 47, beginning here in verse 1. Afterward, he brought me again unto the door of the house, and behold, waters issued out from under the threshold of the house eastward. For the forefront of the house stood toward the east, and the waters came down from under the right side of the house at the south side of the altar. Then brought he me out of the way of the gate northward, and led me about the way without unto the utter gate by the way that looketh eastward. And behold, there ran out waters on the right side. And when the man that had the line in his hand went forth eastward, he measured 1,000 cubits. And he brought me through the waters. The waters were to the ankles. Again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters. The waters were to the knees. Again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters. Brought me through. The waters were to the loins. Afterward, he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not pass over, for the waters were risen. Waters to swim in, a river that could not be passed over. And he said unto me, Son of man, hast thou seen this? Then he brought me, and caused me to return to the brink of the river. Now, when I had returned, behold, at the bank of the river were very many trees on one side and on the other. Then said he to me, These waters issue out toward the east country, and go down into the desert, and go into the sea, which being brought forth into the sea, the waters shall be healed. And it came to pass that everything that liveth, which moveth, whithersoever the rivers shall come, shall live, and there shall be a very great multitude of fish, because these waters shall come thither, for they shall be healed. And everything shall live whither the river cometh. And it shall come to pass that the fishers shall stand upon it from En Gedi even until En Gellim. They shall be a place to spread forth nets. Their fish shall be according to their kinds, as the fish of the great sea, exceeding many. But the miry places thereof and the marshes thereof shall not be healed. They shall be given to salt. And by the river upon the bank thereof, on this side and on that side, shall grow all trees for meat, whose leaf shall not fade, neither shall the fruit thereof be consumed. It shall bring forth new fruit according to his months, because their waters they issued out of the sanctuary, and the fruit thereof shall be for meat, and the leaf thereof for medicine. This is a vision of water flowing out of the temple. This water was coming out of the door, out of the threshold of the temple, and it was flowing toward the east. And then it goes through and very precisely lays out measurements. In verse 3, it says they went out 1,000 cubits, which is about 1,500 feet or about a quarter of a mile. Maybe just a tad over a quarter of a mile. He took Ezekiel through the waters, and at this point, they were just an ankle deep. Then in verse 4, he measures another 1,000 cubits. Then he took Ezekiel through the water, and now the waters were getting deeper. They were knee deep. And then he measured another 1,000 cubits. And then he took Ezekiel through the water, and now it's almost waist deep. And then they go yet another 1,000 cubits, or a little over a mile now, and the river could not be crossed. It had grown. It was a significant increase in the depth of the waters. And then not only did the waters get deeper, but there in verse 7, there were many trees that were beginning to grow up alongside of this stream of water, beside these waters. And then it entered the verses 8 and 9. It entered into the Dead Sea. And then this Dead Sea suddenly became alive. It was alive with fish and just the same type and number of fish as what was in the Mediterranean Sea. And fishermen were able to cast out their nets and catch many, many fish. Then in verse 11, sort of a footnote there, it says the miry places were not healed. They shall be given to salt. And then in verse 12, the trees that grew up along the banks, it says that the fruit shall not be consumed, which means it would not be destroyed. The fruit would continue to be present. And then the leaves shall be like medicine. So this is a living stream, and it brings healing to whatever it touches. And what does this represent? I would suggest that it represents perhaps two things. One is the gospel, the wonderful message of the gospel going out across the world and spreading across the world and bringing healing to the nations. And it also represents the work of the Holy Ghost, of the Holy Spirit, in the lives of men. And I believe it's a picture of the work of the church as a whole. You know, the Church of Jesus Christ has, from the time of Christ, has spread out across the entire world and has brought healing and life to this poor, sin-cursed world. If you look there at verse 11, that I mentioned was like a footnote there. You know, in the midst of all these wonderful things that were happening there, there was a reminder that not all will receive the healing of these waters. That's a sobering reality. You know, in spite of all that Christ has done, and all that the church has done, there will be those that will refuse to receive the healing of the gospel message and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. There are other Old Testament passages that we could look at. Isaiah 44, verses 3 and 4. Joel chapter 2, verse 28. I won't turn to them this morning, but if you would look at those, they also give a similar idea of the Spirit of God coming down and dwelling with man. But I'd like to go next to is Revelation chapter 22. And this is part of the last chapter in the book of Revelation. And it's part of the vision that Apostle John had of the new heaven and the new earth. He had a vision of a river of life coming out of the throne of God. There in verse 1, it reads, "And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations." Is this the same river that proceeded out of the temple in Ezekiel's vision? I don't know. But they both provide healing. And they both provide life. I mean, it's interesting. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. In Ezekiel's vision, the leaves of those trees beside the waters were for healing of the nations. Were for healing. Or were for medicine, I believe, was the term used. Let's circle back to the words of Jesus here in John 7:38. "He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." And this living water is in each one of us who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what I want to focus on this morning, is this fabulous truth that within each believer is living water that has the ability to give life where there is death, to bring healing where there is brokenness, and to quench the thirst of those that hunger and thirst after righteousness. It's not us that brings the healing, but the living water that is flowing out of us. So in a sense, each of us believers, we're like a living channel of this living water. If you look back at Revelation 22, there does appear to be a future river of life flowing from the throne of God. Currently, God has made it so that we are the channels that He uses to bless the world around us. You know, God has not chosen to preach the gospel message from the clouds. I mean, God could easily just declare the gospel to every person in every nation and give everyone the same message. Or He could have sent angels out to preach the gospel. But instead, He wants us as a church to be a channel of this living water of life. I wanted to look at several aspects of this morning. One is obstructed channels. Another is open channels, keeping an open channel, overflowing channels, and then unlikely channels. Obstructed channels. Lazarus was a friend of Jesus, and we all know how he got sick. Mary and Martha sent for Jesus to come and heal him, but Jesus tarried. Jesus tarried until he died, and finally when Jesus showed up in Bethany, Lazarus was already in the tomb 4 days. Jesus raised him up from the dead and called him out from the tomb. But he was still wrapped up in his grave clothes. He was not able to function normally. His movements were restricted. He was bound up. Perhaps his voice was muffled by a cloth over his face. His condition at that moment is a picture of a Christian who has not broken free of the worldly entanglements or fleshly desires. His condition illustrates a Christian who has allowed compromise into his life. A compromising Christian is spiritually limited. The living water just doesn't flow very well. There will be restrictions. There will be kinks in the channel. And the water just will not be able to, the living water will not be able to come out. There's an account of a town in Colorado that was very, Colorado is very dry in most places, and there's a need to irrigate there. And this story is probably from the late 1800s of a town that was down in the valley, and they needed water, so the citizens there were rather enterprising. So they laid a water line from the town up to a lake that was up in the hills. This lake had very sweet, very clear, very pure water. And they got this pipeline, this channel laid. And this channel fed this town a plentiful supply of clean, pure water. They were no longer dependent on the sporadic rainfall. And as a result, the town prospered and grew because of this water supply. Then one day, when the housewives opened the spigots, they sputtered and no water came out. The men of the town tried to find cracks in the pipe, but they could not figure out why the water stopped coming. As the days changed to weeks, some people started moving away, and the grass started growing on the streets. Then one day, one of the town leaders got a note. This note had poor spelling and grammar. It said, "If you just pull the plug out of the pipe about 8 inches from the top, you'll get all the water you want." Apparently, some tramp had jammed the plug into the opening. And it's surprising how much pure water can be held back by a very small plug. When we think about being a living channel for God, are there any plugs present in our channel? You know, how much are we missing out on being used by God? How much more could God potentially use us if those plugs could be removed? Is our channel plugged up with selfishness? Do we tend to take the easiest path in life? Is our channel plugged up with unforgiveness? Are we reviewing in our mind hurtful words and actions of others from the past? Are we able to let go, or are we allowing them to plug up our life? Is our channel plugged with unconfessed sins? Are there words that we have spoken to others that need to be confessed and ask forgiveness for? Are our channels plugged with worldly desires? Are our goals aligned with God's desires? Or are our desires more aligned with the world? If we don't feel like we're being used of God, perhaps there's a plug that needs to be removed. On the dairy farm, one of the challenges that every dairy farmer has is to get enough of water for the cows. You know, a high-producing milk cow can drink maybe 30 gallons of water per day. And there on the home farm, I worked there a number of years, in our search for reasons why our cows were not giving as much milk as the neighboring farms, we noticed that the cows would drink the waterers empty and slurp up the water as it came in, especially in the summertime. The wintertime, they wouldn't drink as much. That didn't happen. And we discovered that the inside of the water line going from the well to the cow barn was starting to close shut. It was slowly closing up with the slime that the iron-reducing bacteria produce. It's reddish brown in color, and it kind of sticks to the side of the pipe, and it just restricts the flow of water through the pipe. Someone suggested to us that we run compressed air, that we open up the water line, and that we run compressed air through the line to try to move the slime through. And I did that, and I think it improved it some to remove that. But spiritually speaking, you know, are we allowing that slime of selfishness, to build up inside of our channels ever so subtly? You know, a focus on self is subtle in that it turns inward and we become self-focused and ignore the world around us. In the process, the flow of the Spirit gets restricted and begins to slow. If you're serious about removing the plugs from your channel, I would just encourage you to just go before the Lord and ask Him to reveal to you what may be plugging up your channel. It's probably not something that people can see. Maybe it is, maybe it's not. But I just encourage you to just go before the Lord, get alone with God, and just ask Him, what is plugging up my channel? And if you really want to go deep, commit to removing it. Commit to God that I am willing to remove this. If you show this to me, I am willing to remove it, no matter the cost. In the long run, the blessing will outweigh any cost of removing that plug. Because if the Spirit of God can flow freely through our lives, that is such a blessing. Next, I'd like to talk about open channels. God has designed that His work be done by His followers and by extension, the church. This is just an awesome responsibility that God has put upon His children. In John 14:17, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. The Holy Spirit is dwelling in us, and the world does not know about him unless we tell them, and the Spirit draws them to himself. His work, like caring for the widows, giving orphans a home, you know, helping the poor, blessing the elderly. You know, God looks to His people to be channels of His work here. You know, in a sense, we are His lips. We are God's lips. We are the hands of God. We are His arms. We are His legs. Gideon was used by God to accomplish His purposes. And Gideon was not a perfect man, but Israel was under attack by all the Midianites and the Amalekites. And God needed someone. So in Judges 6:34, but the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet. Some other versions use a translation that is closer to the Hebrew meaning. I thought it was kind of an interesting perspective. The English Standard Version uses this one. But the Spirit of the Lord clothed Gideon, and he sounded the trumpet. The idea of being clothed with the Spirit of the Lord, you know, that's almost the opposite of what we normally think. I mean, we normally think of the Spirit of God being in my heart. But here it's the picture of the Spirit of God clothing the outside. So could the reality be that the Spirit of God dwells in every part of our body, not just our heart? With courage and faith in God, Gideon was able to deliver the Israelites from their enemies. He was the hand, he was the arm of God in this case. And God clothed him with his spirit and empowered him. In the same way, God empowers us as his channels to do the work that he has called us to do. We are connected to the well of life. God uses us to water the world with his living water. You know, just like a gardener will carefully water his plants with the right amount of water at the right time, are we willing to allow God to use us to pour out his blessing on those we come in contact with? Are we willing to use our lips to speak a word from God into someone's life? This is a true account. I think it would have happened some years ago. A prominent clergyman in New England tells this experience of his. In the course of his pastoral work, he was called to conduct the funeral service of a young woman who had died quite unexpectedly. As he entered the house, he met the minister in charge of the mission church where the family attended and asked him, "Was Mary a Christian?" To his surprise, a pained look came into the young man's face as he replied, "3 weeks ago, I had a strong impulse to speak to her, but I did not, and I do not know." A moment later, he met the girl's Sunday school teacher and asked her the same question. Quickly, the tears came as she said, "2 weeks ago, doctor, a voice seemed to say to me, 'Speak to Mary,' and I knew what it meant. And I intended to, but I did not, and I do not know." Deeply moved by these unexpected answers, a few minutes later, he met the girl's mother, and thinking doubtless to give her an opportunity to speak a word that would bring comfort to her own heart, he said quietly, "Mary was a Christian girl?" The tears came quick and hot to the mother's eyes as she sobbed out, "1 week ago, a voice came to me saying, 'Speak to Mary,' and I thought of it, but I did not at the time, and you know how unexpectedly she went away, and I do not know." You know, no one knows for sure the eternal condition of Mary's soul. Her soul is in the hands of God. But it is wise to follow the promptings of the Lord to speak to someone about their soul. We just don't know when their time may be over. If we are channels, who controls where the flow goes? Think about it. Does a water hose control which plants get watered? It's not us that controls the flow. It's the Master Gardener or the Holy Spirit. Preparing an open channel. A carpenter will make sure he has sharp tools available to do his work. He'll make sure that he has new blades for his utility knife. He'll make sure that he has sharp chop saw blades, sharp reciprocating saw blades. He'll make sure that he has a sufficient supply of driver bits. He'll make sure that his power tool batteries are charged. This is not his work, but it is the preparation for his work. He will not get anything done if all he does is make sure that his tools are ready. You know, in the same way, we need to prepare ourselves to be an open channel for God. Paul wrote to Timothy saying, "But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself of these, that is, those vessels of wood and of earth, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work." If we are to be a vessel or channel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the Master's use and prepared. You know, we need to be prepared. You know, keeping an open channel. I mean, this is part of the preparation. And recently, this was, it really impressed on me the need to just to spend time with God alone. This is something that I need to do more of. And I'm not saying, I'll just leave it at that. You know, here's an account that I assume is true, but it illustrates well the importance of getting alone with God. Professor Bengel was a teacher in the seminary in Germany in the 18th century. He united profound reverence for the Bible with an acuteness which let nothing escape him. The seminary students used to wonder at the great intellectuality and the great humility and Christ-likeness which blended their beauty in him. One night, one of them, eager to learn the secret of this holy life, slipped up into his apartments while the professor was out lecturing in the city and hid himself behind the heavy curtains in the deep recess of the old-fashioned window. Quite a while, he waited while he grew weary and thought of how weary his teacher must be with his long day's work in the classroom and the city. At length, he heard the step in the hall and waited breathlessly to learn the coveted secret. The man came in, changed his shoes for slippers, and sitting down at the study table, opened the old, well-thumbed German Bible and began reading leisurely, page by page. A half an hour he read, three quarters of an hour, an hour, and more yet. Then leaning his head down on his hands for a few minutes in silence, he said in the simplest, most familiar way, "Well, Lord Jesus, we're on the same old terms. Good night." Here was a man who soaked himself in the Word of God. After a long day of serving, he probably felt like falling into bed or unwinding by doing some easy, pleasurable reading. But instead, he chose to connect with God. I believe that for him, reading the Bible was like reading a letter from a friend. It comforted him and it reassured him. Another part of keeping an open channel is to develop a habit of prayer. Prayer is like the engine room of our Christian life. In the old order Amish shops around the area here, they have an engine room, a diesel motor that powers up and provides power for the entire shop. You know, without the engine running, the shop would shut down and production would cease. You know, prayer is the engine room of the Christian life. Without prayer, the effectiveness of our Christian life would shrivel and perhaps cease. Prayer is powerful. You know, we serve a prayer hearing and a prayer answering God. Years ago, a young man from India said, "I used to pray three times a day, but now I pray once a day, and that is all day." Prayer is essential to removing the obstacles in our channel and to keeping our channel open. An overflowing channel. For many years, the Nile River in Egypt has consistently flooded the land alongside of it every spring. As the flood waters recede, it left behind a rich, fertile layer of deposits. Egyptian farmers have depended on this renewing of the soil for centuries. Now, thinking back to Ezekiel's vision of the river coming out of Jerusalem and bringing life to the Dead Sea, are our lives bringing life to those around us? You know, we use the term overflow. I hear that term being used. Is our overflow a blessing to others? You know, we talk about sharing the overflow of a given activity or gathering. Like when we go to Washington Square Park, there's often a time of sharing the overflow from that experience. It's interesting how it works. We give of ourselves to share with others, and in the process of giving, we receive stories and accounts of how God worked. And then these experiences allow us to bless others with the overflow. And I think this is one way that that river in Ezekiel gets deeper and deeper. Because as we allow the Spirit of God to work through us, we have experiences, and that creates an overflow, and it just gets better and better. Not all overflow is positive. The Cocalico Creek here next door was overflowing on Friday and had us brothers a little concerned about potential water damage inside the building here. You know, so some overflow can be destructive. You know, people who do not have the Spirit of God dwelling in them, their overflow is not life-giving. And I think we need to keep that in mind when we're dealing with the unsaved. I'm not saying being scared of it, but I think we need to take that into consideration. That the overflow, the things that they're talking about, the things that they're doing, are not necessarily a positive overflow. Let's allow the living waters to overflow our channels and to heal the broken world around us. You know, in John 3:30, John the Baptist said to Jesus, "He must increase and I must decrease." You know, when we are full and overflowing, it is God that gets the glory, not us. I believe our brother Mose was a large channel for God. In addition, I believe he allowed his channel to be full and overflowing. He allowed the Spirit to use him. He'll really be missed and will leave a large hole, obviously. But I believe that each one of us has the responsibility to use whatever size and type of channel that God has given us. We have a responsibility to use that and to allow that living water to flow through it. And I believe that is what Moses would desire for us to do, to remain faithful personally, to keep our channels open and work together to advance the kingdom of God here in Ephrata and the surrounding areas and even beyond. Unlikely channels. Sometimes God uses channels that most would view as not very useful or impossible to use. He can use someone who has lived a very sinful life, who has a bad reputation and no moral credibility. We only have to look to John chapter 4 and the woman of Samaria for an example of this. You know, this woman had 5 husbands and did not follow the law. Yet her belief and her testimony allowed her to spread the gospel to her people. And the scriptures say that many Samaritans believed on Jesus as a result of her testimony. Sometimes we may feel like we messed up too much to be useful. If we have a sincere heart and keep our channels open, God will open up opportunities for us to be channels for Him. And I want to repeat that. If we have a sincere heart and keep our channels open, God will open up opportunities for us to be channels for Him. In conclusion, we started by looking at how channels are used various ways in the physical realm. You know, these channels, they have no life of their own, and their only value is when they're being used by somebody else, by someone else, to transfer one thing to one from one place to another. their only value comes as being used as a channel. Then we consider the words of Jesus to his people at the Feast of the Tabernacles. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Each one of us who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ are channels of this river of living water. How clean are your channels? Is the slime of selfishness building up? Is there unconfessed sin and unforgiveness clogging up the flow? Do you need to do business with God this morning? God is calling each one of us to just be a channel for Him. Will you answer that call today? Will you willingly say, I am willing to be your channel? I'd like to conclude by lining a hymn titled Channels Only. And then I would like the song leader to, I'd like the song leader to lead the hymn prior to the moderator coming up, but maybe we'll have to pinch hit there a little bit. And I just trust that everyone here can express this as being their heart's desire. Listen to the words here of the hymn. And this is going to have 5 verses in our books. They only have 4 verses. And so I'm going to read all 5 verses. And just think about the words here. How I praise thee, precious Savior, that thy love laid hold of me. Thou hast saved and cleansed and filled me, that I might thy channel be. Just a channel full of blessing to the thirsty hearts around, to tell out thy full salvation, all thy loving message sound. Emptied that thou shouldest fill me, a clean vessel in thy hand, with no power but as thou givest, graciously with each command. Witnessing thy power to save me, setting free from self and sin, thou who boughtest to possess me, in thy fullness, Lord, come in. Jesus, now, fill now with thy spirit, hearts that full surrender know, that the streams of living water from our inner self may flow. Channels only, blessed Master, but with all thy wondrous power flowing through us, thou canst use us every day and every hour. May God add his blessing.
Page 506. How I praise thee, precious Savior.
Ooh, how I praise thee, precious Savior, that thy love laid hold of me. Thou hast saved and cleansed and filled me, that I might thy channel be. Channels only, blessed Master, but with all thy wondrous power flowing through us, thou canst use us every day and every hour. Empty that thou shouldest fill me, a clean vessel in thy hand, with no power but as thou givest, graciously with each command. Channels only, blessed Master, but with all thy wondrous power flowing through us, thou canst use us every day and every hour. Witnessing thy power to save me, setting free from self and sin. Thou who boughtest to possess me in thy fullness, Lord, come in. Channels only, blessed Master, but with all thy wondrous power flowing through us, thou canst use us every day and every hour. Jesus, fill now with thy Spirit hearts that full surrender know, that the streams of living water from our inner man may flow. Channels only, blessed Master, but with all thy wondrous power flowing through us, thou canst use us every day and every hour.
Amen. Appreciate that message, brother. Are we being channels that God can use? And we're just channels. We're not the water. But we need to be willing to be usable. I really appreciate the challenge that was shared. I guess I was especially challenged with that story of the young lady who passed into eternity without being spoken to by those three whom God had prompted. And I say to my shame, there's been times when I've not spoken when I felt the Lord prompting me to. But there's been times when I have, and I'm grateful for that and for that opportunity to be a channel. And all of us have those opportunities. And I think it's a matter of being, first of all, in tune with God's Spirit, and so we can hear His voice when He speaks to us, and then being ready to speak, ready to share. I had the opportunity to do that a few weeks ago when I was on a small airplane flying from Mbeya to Dar es Salaam in Tanzania. Sat next to a man who obviously he knew English. His skin was white. Most of them in the plane were black, but this man was of South African descent, but European go back several generations, but it was a good conversation, stimulating him. I didn't at first, I wasn't sure, is God going to open the door? He seemed to be more interested in taking a doze, but time came when he was awake, and we had a very stimulating, interesting conversation. So let's be alert and ready to be used by God. Sometimes I think it's harder when the prompts come to speak to someone who's closer home, somebody we know personally. It's maybe easier to speak to strangers. But God wants to use us to be channels in our own homes, in our church, in our workplace, wherever we are. So may we take these challenges and be channels of blessing, channels that God can use. Do you have any other comments or responses to the message? Raise your hand. If you do, the car on the back.
Just want to thank you, Brother James. I really, really appreciate the depth of that message. And I know you put a lot of quality study into that. And as I was curious when you started to set the table up and set all those things out there, this looked very interesting. And I kept watching all of those things as you were sharing your message, and I realized how different every one of those conduits are and what a different purpose each one of those conduits serves. And I realized that every one of us is like that. The diversity that God has built into His body is similar to the diversity of those conduits up there. And yet every single one of them has a purpose to transfer something of value somewhere else. And so it occurred to me that my conduit is unique. And if I allow my conduit to be blocked or impeded, then the work that God wants me to accomplish will go undone. Somebody else has a different purpose, but every one of us has a mandate from God to be that channel of living water. And I truly am challenged this morning, and I want to open my heart to considering any ways that my channel is blocked or impeded. I don't think it's blocked, but the iron building up on the walls, that strikes home and is a challenge, because there's a lot of ways that that can happen. And it's a slow process and it's a subtle process, but ultimately it does impede the flow of the water going through that channel. And so I just really appreciate the message and the challenge, and I do want to open my heart to God to be a clear channel that the water can freely flow through and minister life to those at the other end.
Amen. Thank you for that. Anyone else? Ian?
I would like to thank you, both Steve and James, for the messages you delivered today. It was an encouragement to me. I've been feeling that way all this past week, and just last night I was praying, Lord, where are we? Why are we not being channels like we should be? To me, it looks as though we've got blockages in our lives. And I said, Lord, show me where I'm being blocked. Help me know. And you just brought together kind of a bit of a lesson I had this week. I was talking to Mom and Papa yesterday, and they said they had their pipes freeze last week, and some of them burst. A valve got rusty, and they started leaking, and it just, you brought together that correlation to me, and I realized that so often in our lives, we get cold, we freeze, and we have blockages. Then we burst, and we start spilling out in the wrong ways. And just thank you for that encouragement, and then Steve for your very provoking devotional. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this message. We trust that it has been a blessing to you. If you would like additional sermons or a catalog, please visit our website at effortofministries.org. Call us toll-free at 855-557-7902 or write to us at Effort of Ministries, 400 West Main Street, Suite 1, Effort of Pennsylvania, 17522. You are welcome to copy this message for free distribution. This ministry is supported by your donations. May the Lord Jesus bless you.